Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. We return to coverage of the aftermath of Sunday's shooting in Las Vegas. Now, you heard at the top of the show what could be some rare agreement in Congress over a narrow piece of gun legislation banning bump stocks. Gun control is politically toxic for many politicians in America. Here was the president asked about it Wednesday in Las Vegas.
We're not going to talk about that today,
the president said. Well, we've talked about this grim American ritual after mass shootings, calls for gun control or expanded background checks, the response that gun control just won't stop mass shootings. Maggie Kurth-Baker is senior science writer for 538, and she says that while the need to address gun violence in this country is real, thinking about the problem only after mass shootings can distort what we already know about gun violence and what can actually be done about it.
Obviously, these things are important, particularly given the fact that they are a very American phenomenon. You know, they happen here more than they happen in other countries, and they are, to the best of our knowledge, increasing in frequency. But they don't make up a big part of the kinds of gun deaths that we have in this country. Two-thirds of all the people who are killed by guns in this country die from suicide. So when we try to address gun violence only in the wake of a mass shooting, we're likely to miss the kinds of solutions that could actually help those people that make up the biggest portion of gun violence.
Break down some of the numbers. You said that two-thirds of gun deaths are suicides. What else do we know about the nature of gun injuries and gun deaths that would be useful?
So I think another thing that is useful to note is that it's really hard for us to define certain types of gun violence. So the mass shooting thing, you'll see all sorts of different numbers on it. And that's because, you know, we have a cultural understanding of what a mass shooting is. And I think I could say the words mass shooting and you would probably know exactly what I was talking about, and I would know what you were talking about if you said it. But it turns out to be really hard to kind of put that into a quantifiable position. So, you know, you've probably heard that the FBI's definition involves, you know, four or more people killed at once, basically. But that includes a whole bunch of things that neither one of us would classify as a mass shooting. So that includes, like, if somebody, you know, killed all their family members in their house. It includes a lot of gang violence incidents. So if you're tracking mass shootings to include all of those things, you come up with numbers like 351 mass shootings in 2015. If you start trying to winnow that down a little bit, you come up with really different numbers. So for instance, Mother Jones, they define mass shootings as shootings in public places in which four more people died other than the shooter. Like, that public place thing is a really important part of it. And they come up with three mass shootings for 2015. So you can get really big differences in the numbers of events just based on how you define something. And none of those definitions is exactly wrong. They're just kind of counting different things in different ways.
You've written, though, about the history of mass shootings in this country. What makes them a purely American phenomenon or a mostly American phenomenon?
I definitely wouldn't say that they're a purely American phenomenon. They definitely happen in other countries. It's just that they seem to happen more frequently here. So Aaron Langford, who's a gun violence researcher, did some comparisons between multiple countries of the number of mass shootings between 1966 and 2012. And he found 90 incidents of mass shootings in the U.S. between 1966 and 2012. And the next four countries combined had 54. So this is definitely something that happens more frequently in America, and it's also something that has happened for a really long time in America. You know, there was a shooting in Winfield, Kansas in 1903 where eight concertgoers were killed when a man fired into a crowd, similar to what happened in Las Vegas. We also have a history in America of mass shootings that don't involve just one shooter. You know, historically, a lot of the mass shootings that happened in this country were gangs of armed white people going after Black Americans, going after Native Americans, and killing hundreds of people at one time.
So you mentioned suicides and how common they are and sort of where they occur with guns. What are we missing then about the public health impact of gun ownership in America when we just focus on Newtown and Orlando and Las Vegas?
I think it's important to sort of think about gun violence in terms of taxonomy. that gun violence isn't just one thing. It's a lot of different things. You know, it's not just, you know, if to put it in that kind of public health parlance, it's not just the flu. It's like five or six different diseases. And you don't treat each disease with one medicine. You have to have a lot of different ways of addressing things. So if you look at, you know, historical trends for different kinds of gun deaths, they go in different directions. You know, most of the data suggests that the number of mass shootings, similar to what happened in Las Vegas, has gone up. That's particularly true, you know, in the last 10 years, basically. But homicide rates have fallen significantly from their 1980 peak, and they've continued going down generally since most of the 21st century. And meanwhile, suicides have gone way up, with the biggest increases among women. And accidental gun deaths have fallen by half since 1980. So we have all of these different things working in different ways, affecting different people. And it's pretty unlikely that we're going to find a single silver bullet that fixes all of them.
I mean, some of this is natural reaction to media coverage, right? I mean, we talk about climate change after big hurricanes, even though the climate experts say individual hurricanes can't be attributed to climate change. But they also say, you know, it's a great time to talk about climate change because that's when it has our attention. Why is it different here?
Well, I think it's both not different and it is different. So, yeah, it is a really good time to talk about gun violence because gun violence has happened. It's something that we're all aware of, and it has made kind of a big impression on our minds and on our news cycles right now. The challenge comes when we start trying to tailor solutions too much to this one particular kind of gun violence. And that is a problem because mass shootings are really rare. You know, they happen more frequently than they used to, and they are an American phenomenon, but they're a really rare American phenomenon. So we have this bill that's sort of being discussed in Congress to ban the tool that the shooter in Las Vegas used to make his rifle fire more rounds per minute. And that could be something useful. I don't know. I don't know that anybody's actually researched what would happen if you banned those particular types of tools. But it probably wouldn't have much of an impact on the number of people who die by gun violence every year in America, because most gun deaths in America don't involve that tool already.
So what you're saying is, in reaction to Las Vegas, that this is a prime example of taking a very, very narrow approach because there was something novel about that attack, and it doesn't really say much for the overall problem of gun violence in this country.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it can actually end up being counterproductive because if you think about, you know, those two-thirds of gun deaths that are suicides, those are people that own guns. Particularly, those are older white men in the West that are having kind of the biggest risk of suicide by gun. And those people, you know, if you're alienating them and you're not getting their buy-in on ways to prevent gun violence, you're probably actually not preventing the gun violence that is affecting them.
Maggie Kurth-Baker, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maggie Kurth-Baker is senior science writer for 538.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.